Hey. How is everyone today, especially you, gorgeous hunk of a man, sitting here next to me? Okay, do you want me to call you ugly then, or what do you want me to call you?
That was just unnecessary, though.
What do you mean? Like, when usually when moms have children...
I'm good, Mom. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm really, really doing good. How are you, Damien? You're here today in the Down the Rabbit Hole Studios. Do you want to say a quick hi, a quick shout-out to the world? He's very, very busy. Yeah, he's in a focused mission right now, and we can't even talk about it. But it's beautiful summer. I really, really enjoy summer. Have I told you that before?
No, but it's pretty self-explanatory. But yeah.
Why? Why is it? There's some people that hate summer. Like,
I mean, you're happy a lot, so I mean.
Well, there's people like, for example. What about the landscapers that work out in 110 degrees in Arizona?
They have a job. Maybe they're grateful for working.
But I bet you that you're going to find one person that does not like summer. So it's not a general statement, I don't think. I think there's a lot of people that
just don't like summer.
I was literally
just talking about you, not the whole world, all right?
I like summer because it gives me the opportunity to condition you instead of letting the school condition you. And you know that I always think I'm right about what I say. So I feel like, you know, send you to school, then you get home, then I gotta uncondition
you.
You
feel like you're right, Mom?
You know what? I'm right a lot, you know. I'm just, there's times when I don't want to call it right or wrong. I want to call it going in the correct direction. How's that?
I don't think there's any correct direction.
There isn't. It doesn't even exist. Bad or good doesn't even exist.
Exactly.
But it is, as a human being, you know, you're in this world but not of it. How many times have I told you this? You're in this world but not of it. You still got to have symbols or words to help you navigate through this journey that we call life, don't you think?
Oh, sure.
So I've got to use some of them. And today, there's these sounds that are coming out of my mouth that are supposed to be words, I guess. And we're communicating here. And we're going to be talking about a fascinating subject that just, you know, really gets me going because I don't know a lot about it. I basically what I've done is studied it here and there. But because we were going to do this podcast, even though what we do is brainstorm like a few minutes before and then get going, you know, we write about the things that we've been through in the week and then it pops up the subject and this is exactly what happened. We did have some time to kind of look at more details on this just so that we can continue to talk about it. And I was just like, whoa, I was like, seriously? I was like, wow, this is like information that needs to be shared with the entire world, you know. I knew a little bit, and I practiced meditations about the third eye and pineal gland, which today we're going to be talking about. But once I started really getting into some of the science-based facts as well as the philosophy that comes with it, not only from current philosophers or theologists, whatever you want to call them, but also from our ancestors from the past. And I feel like there's a lot of things where the dots connected. I was like, this could be a possibility, just like every other theory out there.
It's insane how much of the old cultures or the old traditions used to talk about it, and like heavily too, like from the Assyrians to the Romans to the Egyptians, everywhere.
So in a nutshell, from what you know or what you've read, what is the pineal gland? What is the third eye?
Well, what do you mean?
Let's talk about it in a
forum
way.
Are we going to define the third eye as a pineal gland?
You think it's something different?
No.
It's called the pineal gland scientifically. Yeah. And what is it? Where is it located? And then where does the third eye come? I'll let you take that because, you know, you got that down.
All right. So, yes, I guess everyone has known that we believe that the pineal gland and third eye is the same thing. The third eye is also like the sixth chakra. It's called the Ajna chakra. And Ajna means the command center. So it's definitely like has a lot of control and associated with like higher knowledge and like substantial aspects of sight and intuition.
And where is it located?
Like between the eyebrows in the center of the brain, like in the very middle.
Yeah, but it's way deep in the brain. I always thought it was like right at the top because a lot of the meditations that I use, they tell you to rub it there in the middle of your forehead. But there's some pictures that actually show that it's very deep inside your brain. However, you know, with the stimulation on your forehead, I feel like you can still kind of connect in some way with energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. On reptiles, and More specifically, there's this one called the Totoro. It's like before lizards or any of that even existed, and like you could actually see the third eye. You could see the third eye on top of its head.
Wow.
Like if you look it up and just, and there's also another reptiles and stuff like that. It's there too.
Well, what's really cool that I thought was that it literally has rods and cones, just the way our regular eye does. I mean, it doesn't have the white stuff and all of that, or all the gooiness around it, but it literally, inside of your brain, there's this little, it's small. I think they said it was the size of a what?
Of the seed of a pine cone.
Yes. Yeah, so
that's where it gets its name, the pineal gland. That's where we...
The pineal gland.
Yeah.
And so it's a very small, like the seed of a, and it's called the seat of the soul, not the seed. I never knew. I confused it with the seed. That's why I thought it was called the pineal gland, because I thought it was a seed, you know, from pine cone. But it's the seat. It's where the soul literally sits. To
the philosopher Descartes. That's who coined that term.
Oh, Descartes did that way back when?
I might be saying his name
wrong. I don't know how to say his name.
I don't know.
Could be Socrates' best friend, and we don't even know it. But it literally is a little, very tiny, and it sits in your brain, and it looks like a pine cone. And what it does is that science has proven that it actually produces DMT.
Rick Strassman, he's the one that came up with the cosmic. He's a scientist, a doctor. He's author of the DMT spirit molecule.
Yeah.
I think the documentary is still on Netflix. It's an awesome thing to watch.
Mm.
And he's a scientist, and he gave up that theory because he works with DMT a lot. And but recently they found like a lot of evidence to back that up with the rats. They find out that DMT is actually created in the pineal glands of rats.
But nothing with the human then? It's only been...
We haven't like really witnessed it or anything, but... He talks about how, let's see, with like near death experiences and stuff like that, where you see that heavenly light and you like have that mystical experience, and
mm-hmm.
and that they believe that's what it's caused, the DMT. And also the pineal gland has like releases like melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
That's something with sleep, and I guess you could correlate that with like dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dreaming, you have some crazy visions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that maybe because every night you have giant doses of DMT emerging into your brain. But we don't know.
Before we get further into that, DMT, what does it stand for?
Dimethyltryptamine.
Dimethyltryptamine. And maybe you want to explain a little bit of what that is, just in case no one's ever heard of that, you know?
We've talked about it a little bit before. It's found in many plants and animals. It's actually made inside your own gut. So we know it's made inside you, but we don't know.
Your gut?
Yeah, in the gut of your stomach.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I thought I told you. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we found that that's there before, but now we're just curious if it's made in the pineal gland or not, and I believe it is.
So what does this do? What does this substance do?
Well, it's called the spirit molecule, and it definitely just, like, connects you to different realms, and just, like, it's indescribable. It's literally indescribable. You can't really... If you read or like watch any of the descriptions and say, like, it's just so hard to put in words because it's just like, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and the neat thing is that DMT is also found in plants. That's what's really
yeah.
cool. So they can actually extract it.
So much fun.
Yeah, like ayahuasca in Peru, which they can actually extract it from, and you can take it and where it's legal, you can. I'm here in the USA. It's considered a Schedule 1 drug, which means, you know, it's illegal and only religious organizations can actually use it. But it's been known that it's not addictive. There's people...
It actually does the opposite. There's like in Mexico, there's these tribes in Mexico that, like, you know how there's a bunch of meth and all the dirty drugs over
yes.
there?
Well, here too.
Of course. But there's a big problem over there. And they resort to DMT. And they break them with their addictions completely, like with
yeah.
the first or second time. And
I read somewhere that over 50% of addiction, people that go 50% of them, over 50% of them actually get rid of their complete addictions with only 5 ceremonies. And it's not something that you actually, are you craving and you want to come back to. This is something that the body actually produces them, because the body is not able to convert it or use it fully to its capacity, then it doesn't ever really evolve to that. But it is found within the pineal glands, well, they've already experimented with the rats and all of that, and now it's being correlated with the pineal, with our own pineal gland as well, where they're saying that there's blockage in the pineal gland. A lot of people have these stupid theories.
The classification or whatever that's called.
What do you mean?
Where it's declassified or something like that. I can't even say the word. I don't know. Because they say like fluoride. I don't know. I don't know if there's science behind that.
Oh yeah, they say that basically fluoride in the water makes it block, because you know there's this big conspiracy theory that, you know, people, that way people will not awaken and not see that. I honestly, now we're knowing more about it because, you know, information age, technology, look at all the research we could do within 5 seconds, and we can see pineal gland and what DMT is and all of that.
We might be, like, stepping too much in, like, new age stuff with, like, fluoride, and cause we have really no idea. There's no, I don't believe that they're doing that. But fluoride is known to be, like, extremely unhealthy for your brain, and, like, Harvard, and, like, there's studies about that. So, and I don't know. I guess it has an impact on your brain. I guess the pineal gland is in your brain. So it might, but I really have no idea.
And there's things that you can do to actually unblock it through meditation and all that. I don't necessarily believe in that. I just think it's not in the time for humanity to evolve yet to the point where the pineal gland is truly understood. And not only the pineal gland, but our bodies, like us as consciousness and realizing the truth of who we are and being able to utilize our bodies to the highest capacity, because we're not our bodies. We're a soul that's forever eternal. So I think just humanity now is at a point where it's necessary. You know, it's like I told you, I think it's time for either you evolve or you kind of become distinguished, but that's a good thing, extinct. And you want to become extinct, then basically that means the race or humanity is gone. I mean, we're a race, and if now we're becoming, all this information is becoming so much more available to us, it's because it's time for us to, I believe, evolve and start using our bodies in different ways, and in ways that can actually not only help ourselves but the world. So I think it's perfect timing for humanity and where it's going. I think that it's something that's going to become more prevalent, and I could see 30 years from now where people are like talking about their pineal gland like it's their finger or their eye or their brain, and they'd be able to use it more wisely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's crazy because it's been around for such a long time too. I guess for a certain time we forgot about it. I don't really know. Maybe we didn't forget about it. I don't know, but we don't talk about it since we don't like glorify the pineal glands as like the Egyptians or any other cultures.
Right. That's what's really cool. Our ancestors, how much they glorified it. The Egyptians, it's in our dollar bill. It's in the U.S. dollar. It's the triangle with the eyes.
We don't know if that's it.
Well, it's tied to that because if you watch this documentary, it just seems like everything is talking about the same thing, you know. And yes, the Egyptians, there was also another thing that was said about the Mayans, you know, when they went in and they found the caves, there was very interesting figures in the caves. So what they were saying is that you got to remember, they're living in the jungle. They have access to to DMT, which is produced in the pineal gland.
With the Mayans, they experienced, or it was the Aztecs or Mayans, they experimented with magic mushrooms a lot,
mm-hmm.
And magic mushrooms are like, the molecule is like pretty much a cousin to DMT, except like with like one little molecule, so if you get rid of that molecule, it is DMT, it's practically the same thing, so yeah.
And so what's interesting about that is that, you know, you look back, I looked at it as, man, what they're saying is that when you have access to your pineal gland, and we humans, I guess, have not discovered a way to do that, unless you go to the route of administering DMT, and that they did back in the day.
Or meditation,
yeah. I'm not saying it's impossible. But what I'm saying about the Mayans is that they did, and that now I think about it, and that what they're saying is that they had access to, when you practice with DMT, or you're able to open up your pineal gland and really produce the DMT from it, then you can actually access other dimensions, other spiritual realms, and not only that, creatures, you know, from the outer world.
Entities, deities.
Like yeah, that's why there was like paintings all over the caves, and this may or may not be true, but I think that it could be very explanatory as to how all these freaking pyramids were built without any equipment, you know?
I don't know. But you said may or not. We want to go back to like the science part, the stuff that is definitely like hardcore.
Absolutely.
Truth.
This is where I want to talk about both, though. I want to talk about metaphysical, and I want
to
talk about the science.
You get too long.
You're
you
totally the science. I'm Ram Dass, and you're.
Stop. I like the mystic stuff a lot more than the science stuff.
You used to be like that. Did you know that?
Oh.
You used to be very science rooted. Yes, 2 years ago, I still remember you. But I love it. I love it. I love it. So go ahead. We're not going to get into an argument today, okay? We said we were going to be good.
Stop.
How much do I love you, though? Besitos?
Stop it, mother.
Okay.
Why?
Go ahead.
Why? All right.
He's mad because I asked him for a kiss.
Just stop. All right.
Let's get back to the science. Let's get back to the science.
You're such a turd,
Let's
mother.
Get back to the nitty-gritty of this.
All right. So there's a discovery. There's a discovery article. You know Discovery, the channel and the news website? So there's an article called How Humans Lost Their Chance at the Third Eye. And it's pretty much basically saying how we all were capable and that we all, like, once... Like, back in, like, our ancestry or evolution line, we all had the capable of actually having that third eye popping out of our heads. But no, it happened not. Like, I could read some of the science part. Do you want me to read it? Or do you want to read it?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
You want to read it?
Is it super long, though? I don't like reading
like
super long.
It's like two paragraphs.
Nah, that's too long. Just give us a snapshot. So, basically, we did not evolve with it. You remember when we went to go see the Galapagos Island movie?
Yeah.
Damon, do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the reason I'm saying this is because you're going to read this afterwards. Just pick your little thing. Okay, at the Galapagos Island, literally, these are islands that were formed. There were some old ones and new ones that were formed from, like, nothing. You know, they came from the bottom and went all the way to the top. Like, they were volcanoes that erupted or crazy stuff. So they showed this evolution of all these animals. There were some, which was the animal that actually floated there on a rock?
Penguins?
The penguins, okay. So then they found a way to evolve. So we creatures here on... What, Damien?
I thought you guys were talking about the lemurs, because you know how they, like, floated on a rock.
Yeah, the lemurs were another story, too. But what I'm saying is that animals had to... They left from one place to another, and they had to find a way to evolve, or they would go extinct, just like the dinosaurs, right? We lost the dinosaurs, unfortunately. This is what I'm talking about. When you read this stuff, is what they're saying. They're saying that basically... We had an opportunity to do this, and then something happened, and it didn't. We didn't evolve into it. And why? Why? I haven't read this article.
How is that related to penguins?
The penguins were on a rock, and they were sent from the Arctic all to the Galapagos, which was very, very hot. They had to change their bodies. Their Antarctica, I'm sorry. They had to literally change. Remember, they had to learn to adapt to the new place in order to survive and all of that, evolve. And now there's like a whole set of penguins over there with brand new wings. And remember, there was one that couldn't fly, and because it couldn't get to its food, then it had to evolve into wings. So we're all like that. We humans evolve. Look at what technology is doing to us. Technology is making us evolve into different things. Superhumans. Information is making us evolve. This is where I think it's so intriguing, this article, and I haven't read it yet, but what I'm telling you is that this article is a perfect example of that. It's because something happens in our race, in our human species, that prevents us from evolving, that could literally wipe us out. So I think it's very important that we learn about these things so that we can, you know, access them and make this a better world.
Yeah. Right.
So what does the article say?
No, just as how the eye develops and how the periodeal eye in the reptiles, it goes outwards instead of like regular eyes that go inwards, and they're just saying how the eye is pretty much the equivalent to like the pineal sac, and they just produce the same stuff like the melatonin and the in the hormones like sleep cycles and serotonin. It's just like it does the same activities as the periodeal eye and the pineal gland and sac. They do the same things as a reptile in our human minds.
So how the title is that
how humans lost their chance.
How did we lose our chance? What happened? I mean, that's the thing. What happened? What was it that happened?
The eye didn't grow outwards. The periodeal eye didn't go out of our heads, it went inside. That's out.
I wonder how why that happened.
I have no idea.
That is very intriguing. I thought they were going to say that, Alexander was all excited. So they, there's no, we don't know then. We have no idea.
I guess not, no.
They're just saying it didn't happen. But it could have happened. I mean, like the way it happened to some of our animal friends, right? But it didn't happen. Damn it, why didn't it happen? Well, it probably didn't happen because, you know, God likes to throw in some crazy stuff and the universe likes to say, find your way. And it's, you know, find the answers in your own way because this is called life, right? You're not here to come and sit on a couch and just not do anything with your life. This is very intriguing stuff.
Or,
very, very intriguing.
Or also
stuff.
Maybe pineal gland doesn't have to be anything external and something just like spirituality internal. Yeah.
Ooh, that's very deep. Say that again.
What?
Yeah, I love that. It's probably, that is so true. You just answered my question. You really did. It's because the pineal gland has nothing to do with anything external. It has to do with everything internal. I like that. And then, you know what? It is so true because...
Or your connection forward.
Well, yeah, because that's exactly every thing that I've read based on a science or either a scientist or a philosopher has said that it is the gap between the physical and the spiritual world. I mean, that's really huge. And it starts really... I guess you have to really disidentify with who you think you are, you know? We're conditioned, we're told that we're this person and this and that. But if we're so sure of that, then we need no room for any uncertainty, no room for, like, play, no room for what could possibly be, and we get stuck on this way that we think that life is. You know, being a real strict on your beliefs and stuff without leaving any room for perhaps there could be something else, like a mystery, and I think that that could really hurt you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what most people, because they're so busy with their jobs, you know, and kids and family and everything they have to do. Who has time to think about a pineal gland, you know? That's where we have to awaken, become aware, and find better solutions to make your life easier, you know? Just the way you make your life easier at school or at work by creating systems or taking shortcuts by finding what helps you with your job or whatever it is, you also should find ways to make your life better by not doing what everyone else is doing, but by looking at our ancestors especially. I feel like we like to reinvent the wheel a lot, but if we would just sit and look at the facts and look at what our ancestors used to do, then I think a lot of the answers are going to be right there. And this comes from way back. I mean, you're talking about the Egyptians.
Yeah.
And they're...
Even like the Babylonians, like the very...
Oh, yeah, the Babylonians for sure. Well, isn't that cone, the pine cone, the symbol, isn't it in a lot of the religious or spiritual practices? You see that symbol a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you see it in all of, like, the artwork or the sculptures or anything. The pine cone is one of, like, the first plants, a precursor to flowers, so that's pretty meaningful right there.
What do you mean?
It came before flowers. Flowers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And also, it's the spine spiral that's the exact same as the Fibonacci sequence, and the Fibonacci sequence is, like, the ratio 1.618, where you see everywhere, like, and that appears everywhere in nature. It's like it's called the golden ratio or the perfect ratio. And that's pretty crazy. I don't know how, like, it has to do, but still, like, that number is powerful.
Because this reality is math. That's why.
I guess.
Remember the Mayans used to look at, when we went to Cancun, and they used to. Well.
True.
Well, it sucks because when you look at things through math, it makes it seem so dull, you know?
But it's mastery. In this way. There's, like, different ways you could look at math. This way's pretty cool.
Well, they certainly mastered it. I remember that when we were in Cancun and the Mayans had these, there was these fields where they used to play their games. And the winner would get to sacrifice their body to the gods. The winner.
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody, like, did their best to win to then sacrifice their bodies to their gods.
It was an honor.
I was like, whoa, that's a little diehard. But... that's awesome, by the way. I mean, imagine going out like that.
I don't know.
Took us to the place where they dropped off the bodies. The cenote, it was
the
crazy.
Whale?
Yeah, it was like it looked oilier, remember?
Cool.
I can't believe you remember that. It was such a long time ago. The reason I was talking about this is because, do you remember how we were in this field? And this field was probably 3 or 4 football fields long.
It was that deep?
It was huge. And you could stand. This field was built with the seating. You could stand on one side and the other person on that side. And you would just, you don't have to yell. You just, like, kind of say something and they could, the sound would project perfectly where the other person could hear it. And it was all because of the way it was built mathematically, you know? And I think that's exactly what was in the past that's different now. I think there was a lot more connection with the metaphysics, with spirituality, with nature, 138%, no, 5,000%. They lived in nature. They lived in there. You know, they were friends with the trees. They were more in touch with the truth of this reality, which is that you're here and that you're not a, your body, you're going to pretty much dissolve it and move on. And I think that they really made the best they could with their lives. I really do. And I think not only did they, that's what the Mayans kind of taught me, not only did they strive, it's not like today where you want to be successful, have money in the bank and all that. It was not that. It was almost like they strived to move humanity forward as a whole versus like one on one on one. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah,
I just probably think it was like that. I think there was more of a connection to each other. And
no,
to,
yeah, I think you're right.
And I think that's what this, the third eye can possibly do for you. I really do. All
right, and the pine cone, just one more thing about it. It usually symbolized eternal life and, like, just, like, everlasting, stuff like that.
So you're forever.
Yeah, I guess.
As far as the soul goes, though.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing that I received. I did, and you can go to YouTube and do meditations on activating the third eye. You know, do some research before you actually get into anything or anything like that.
You said about reincarnation and like lasting forever right now, right? Well, it's crazy because the pineal gland appears in the embryo 49 days of the gestation like period. So like 49 days in. And the Tibetans believe it took 49 days for the soul to reincarnate into another soul. And also it was 49 days for you to decide if you're going to be a male or female. So that's pretty crazy how the soul and
that
the pineal gland is correlated right there.
Those 49 days are crucial, man. I hope the next time I come around, you know, the 49 days, I really think about this shit. Like, I'm like, do you really want to be a woman again or do you want to be a man and just go... You know?
All right.
I don't know. I think I'm going to be a woman again. I think I do. I don't want to be like, definitely don't want to be like a cockroach or anything like that. Do you think we could reincarnate into cockroaches?
I think anything is possible. I have no idea.
Yeah. That's the mystery and that's the beauty of it. It is not even funny when you start thinking about all this stuff. What else is there?
All right. So should we go back to like one more science article?
Yes, of course. Because we need some facts. Then we're going to get into the wooey-wooey stuff.
Not even woo. I guess so, yeah.
I love saying wooey-wooey and new age because it really freaks people out. You know, they're like, oh. But you know what?
I like the word mysticism.
Mysticism is beautiful. That word just makes me just... But even Einstein says stuff like that. You know, reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. Einstein said that. Can you believe that? But Einstein said it's an illusion.
All right, so there's a scientist, this is Psychology Today, and Beverly Rubik,
mm-hmm.
She is a biophysicist in UC Berkeley,
mm-hmm.
And she wanted to prove that the human body is more than just a bag of biomolecules. So this, she studied, all right, I'm just going to read this paragraph. It works like this: neurotech neurofeedback devices around the heads of habitual meditators. Fitted with electrodes and revealing levels of brain activity, devices show that the meditators' brains are able to produce higher frequencies than do the brains of non-meditators who are included in the experiment under neurofeedback. Significantly, the body portions of some meditators' brains, the region known in the esoteric circles located just above the third eye, consistently operate at a speed of 40 hertz,
wow.
Especially Tibetan Buddhist meditators. And accordingly to rapidly expanded Koteri,
mm-hmm.
Whose seemingly desperate contingents include scientists, physics, and makers of techno music. Her research has shown that high frequency is associated with the feeling of love, joy, gratitude, and clairvoyance, and childlike wonder.
I love that. And see, if you were a human being that were able to access that through meditation, your life would be love, joy, gratitude, clairvoyance, and childlike wonder. How beautiful is that? It was so funny. And we talk about a lot of all this, and then we have our skeptics. There's even a skeptics association. Did you know that? Society?
That's right.
Yeah.
Skeptics are good.
Absolutely. Einstein said that as well. Question everything. Question. But there was this, I was listening to A New Earth again. A New Earth is the book by Eckhart Tolle. I was going to call him Tolle. That really changed my life. I think that's what really started me on this spiritual path of, like, all this stuff that I thought was true. Oh, my God. And I still don't know the truth, okay? So I don't know the truth. It's forever evolving. But he wrote an awesome book called A New Earth that you all absolutely need to read. There's podcasts on it. On YouTube, but they're not all there because Oprah actually did a series. And what this guy said, because we're talking about all this stuff, you know, and people that are realists, that are matter of fact, that are like, tell me why I would benefit from this third eye. Maybe not even that. Maybe they're just like, why do I care about this? Why do I care about my third eye? I mean, I haven't been able to access it. What is it going to do in my life or anything? And the reason I'm saying this is that when I was listening to this podcast, there was a guy that called in, and A New Earth is about that. It's about changing your life. It's not about a struggle life. It's not about working hard like everybody does. It's not about that. It's just about being like the oak tree or the lily that knows what's coming to it. It doesn't strive or feel or worry that it's not going to have enough. And the beauty of it is that some guy did call Tolle and said, you know, this is all nice and dandy, but what does this mean to me? Because I still have to pay my bills. I still have to do that. And a lot of people think this, okay, yeah, I'm going to sit there in meditation and I'm going to pray or I'm going to do my spiritual practices. And how is that going to pay my bills? How is that going to advance me in my career? How is that going to, you know, help me not starve to death and feed my family? And I love the way that Eckhart Tolle answered that. And it's the information that we're providing you today. It's valuable, but unless you practice it, it ain't going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. And then number two, how is that going to happen? How are you going to be supported? Well, that's easy because Eckhart Tolle said you can take action to pay your bills, to do what you have to do, but you don't have to necessarily worry about how you're going to take action. Worry is an option that you added in extra because of your ego, right? You decided that you were going to worry about how to pay your bills. You don't have to worry. You can just simply pay your bills and be like the oak tree and the lily that knows that the rain's coming, that knows that they're, you know, they're on purpose. And that's the reason I bring this up is because when we're talking about all these things, it's because it's a new form of thought form. It's not the old thought form of survival of the fittest, competition, let me get this guy down or anything. Honestly, I think to me, the reason that the third eye and the pineal gland is the gap, bridges the gap between...
I don't know about that. Our ancestors, the Egyptians, all those people, they're pretty aggressive. They didn't really let the third eye stop them from competition and taking over and plummeting their neighbors and sisters. So I don't really know about that. I mean, I guess in like a whole society based on it, I don't know if the whole society followed the pineal gland, and like only certain philosophers of that time did. But I feel like if the whole society did use it, then...
That's what I was going to say.
All
right. Don't you think that if all of us learned how to access this, then the world would change? And honestly, I don't know where I heard it, but because they did a meditation experiment on people meditating in two different countries and seeing the effects and all of that. And they have said that it doesn't take a million or a zillion people to change the world. They even said if you just teach every 10-year-old in the world to meditate, our whole world will change in one generation. So I think these things are very important. I think that if people understood the truth of who they are, how to use their bodies, because these bodies are, damn, they could do a lot. They're full of, there's no limit. There's no limit. And if you really believe that, you can. And if you don't believe that, it won't happen, right? But if we learned how to use this, then I think we could build a better society. And especially when there's evidence that backs it up that, you know, like pineal gland or the third eye, where, you know, it is, it's being called the seat of the soul for very many reasons, and there's ways for us to actually activate it and make it happen. Have you learned any of those ways? When I did my meditation this morning on that, I came up with a process, but I want to hear yours first. Or I want to hear what you know about this.
Actually,
do you think it would be beneficial? Okay. First of all, let me ask you this. Do you think it would be beneficial for people to try to learn to activate their pineal gland? And then number two, why and how? That's it.
Well, of course I do, Arusha.
Why?
Why? Because I think it takes you to a heightened state of awareness in a way. You see past boundaries. All right. So, Lord Shiva, he was the god of destruction and transformation and regeneration. And you see him in common known, like pictures and stuff, and he has a third eye. And this is an eye is known for, it's also for destruction and wisdom. And when he opens that eye, he emits flames and burns whatever he wants to ashes. But what he burns to ashes, he's looking beyond all apparent evil and destroys all of the evil that he witnesses. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just really just going past and limiting beliefs or all the things that are trying to stop you or get in your way. I guess, I don't know if to get in your way was the right term, but just to see that you're much more than human.
Well, and I think those blocks actually are what make you a human. It's what makes you kind of scrape off the surfaces of the ego to get to your core, which is the truth of who you are, which is love. And I'll go back to answering. You just answered the question. You stumped me a little bit a while ago. You told me, well, I don't know if I agree with you because of the Mayans. You saw they fought each other and did all of that. But you've also got to remember in the Bhagavad Gita that, what was his name? Arjuna, I'm sorry. Arjuna did not want to go into war they were his brothers and sisters.
Family.
They were family.
Yep.
He did not want to go into war with them. And then Krishna, which is considered God source universe, told them, you have to go into war with them because this is your war to fight. And there is going to be death. And even if you don't go in there and kill them, they're going to die anyways. But this is your war to fight. So going back to your question, to your comment, I think that it's when you're more in touch with and understanding the dynamics of your body and understanding the tools that you can use to access wisdom, compassion, and love, number one, love, like this, like the third eye and the pineal gland, yes, your hands are still going to get dirty as a human being. And when I'm talking about dirty, it's not bad. I'm just talking about life, that these wars that you go through every day in life are the things that help you evolve and move forward. If you were a guy that lived in a cave that had no wars, then you were probably in there because you're fighting someone else's wars out there and you're praying. How many people do that? How many yogis actually, you know, what do they do? Remember that movie we saw of the yogi that awesome film we just saw, and we finished it like in two parts. But when they actually, what do they call it when they give up the world? They renounce the world.
Renunciation?
Yeah, when they're in the renounce
that
the world.
Renunciation?
Yeah. And so when you do something like that, even then you're still at war because you're going into a cave to pray for humanity, you know? Unless you literally like lock yourself in and just not have any access to anything, then what are you doing there? I mean, death is going to be very, very around your corner. So I think we're not talking about dissolving like evil because evil doesn't exist in my eyes. It's an illusion. Deepak Chopra says it. Of Course in Miracles says it.
Exactly. So maybe the third eye is getting rid of illusion.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just hit it on the spot.
All right.
This podcast is over. Everyone have a great night. You guys all take care of yourselves and there you go. So that's exactly what it is. So if you want to live in a life that doesn't have illusions, this is where you go.
All right. Yeah. Lord Shiva, he was talking about destroying like evil and stuff, which is pretty similar to the Eye of Horus. Horus is the Egyptian sky god.
Mm.
And he's usually known as a falcon. You see him as a falcon and stuff like that. And that eye is a symbol of protection in royal power and good health. So it's like kind of similar to Shiva, isn't it? The eye of like, because it's not letting any external forces like it hurt you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty similar.
Yeah, it's there's this awesome book called The Master Key System, written back in the 30s, back I think when Napoleon Hill wrote, what was this book? Think Big and Grow Rich. And actually, people think that it's just about money, but there's a lot of spiritualism in that. But in the Master Key System, what did you just say right now about that?
What?
Repeat what you just said. What did you just say? Because it was very intact with that. It was exactly...
What the Egyptian symbol is?
Yeah.
It was a symbol of... The Eye of Horus was a symbol of protection, royal power, and good health.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Master Key System says. There's this exercise. So the Master Key System, you read it once. It's one chapter, but it literally teaches you, and these are the books that I love to read, the things that will undo your mind. And when I'm talking about undoing your mind is all the beliefs that you had, they get squashed. And even if you want to believe them then, the more you read the book, the more you practice it, just like A Course in Miracles, all of a sudden you're thinking other stuff. You know, you're not that thing anymore. And what it says is that one of the exercises, like you literally have to put a soldier, you have to imagine yourself, and you have to put a guard in front of your brain right here in the third eye. And you have to see it as a guardian of any thoughts that cause you discomfort. And you have to not let anything in that will cause you that. And that's kind of how I see it. If you're someone that's kind of being really powerful in your own truth and empowered in who you are without hurting anyone else. Because you're around people and there may be negativity around you because there always is. Or when I'm talking about negativity, I'm talking about like violence or, you know, the illusion of evil, all of that. There may be all of that, but you have this guard right there that only allows the good to come into your subconscious and into your conscious. And you're always watching. You're always watching. I think it's very important, like, that you practice that. I used to practice it a lot. Master Key System, I read, like, 4 years ago, and it's in the bathroom. But I haven't picked it up recently. I always get stuck on certain books, you know?
Okay.
So what processes can we do? What can we possibly do? We've seen what this third eye is. We've seen what it could do. This morning when I was doing my meditation, when I was done, I got my phone and I started writing fervently because I kind of had like this aha moment. And I'm not going to tell you that I have access to my third eye because I haven't. I wish. You know, I don't even know what that would feel like.
Oh, can I mention one thing about the Egyptians again?
Oh, yes.
All right, so the staff with Osiris, there's like the staff and like there's two snakes around it and the very top of the staff is like a pine cone.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that's like the Kundalini arising and that's the waking up of the third eye. I thought that was kind of cool. I forgot.
I could see that happening because of all the chakras.
Look up the picture. Look up all these pictures. They're so cool. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, because if you think about it, you have all the chakras and then, yes, it's like a serpent. And a lot of people are scared. That's why people are scared of Kundalini, because they're like, oh, a serpent, that's evil. Like, you're trying to do magic and all this bullshit. And I'm like, okay. First of all, it's science and metaphysics built into one, you know? And if you think about it as a serpent going up on the spine, and then it goes all the way to the top and it shoots up, you have your chakra at the top. What is the one on your head called? I forgot what it's called. The crown chakra. I forgot the other name for it, but maybe you can look it up. But literally, it goes up, and through meditation, there's literally Kundalini yoga, what that is. There's different types of yoga. The Kundalini yoga is incredible. It's working with energy and within your body, like putting your body in positions that it responds to the universe and to yourself in very, very many different ways. So I can see how it's shooting up and touching the third eye. I can see how that would totally open you up, like as if you were on DMT. But you don't have to be on DMT.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Then you're literally opening up the doors to other realms. The way I see it is we're human, right? I don't want to die not, like, experiencing my highest self, you know?
Yeah.
And I've had tools, and I've read books, I've done a lot of things, and it's never going to end. Like, I'm going to be 80 and I'm still going to try to, you know, not maybe discover who I am, but experiment. I'm going to be 100 and I'm still going to want to just rejoice in the opportunities that this life can give you, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's very, very important. So did you find it?
Yeah. You're right. It was the crown chakra.
It's the crown chakra. So as it goes up there, there's a lot of meditations that actually help you with this. The meditation that I did today was super awesome because it was more of affirmations, but it was opening the third eye. I don't like any of the really creepy ones that have like these computer voices, because you're going to find a lot of that when you're YouTube. A lot of like, I don't know, that stuff. Just
like binary beats?
Binary beats are cool for when you're sleeping, I think. Or binary beats are, they're sounds supposedly that'll help you and your brain waves and all of that.
Reach that alpha hertz.
Yeah, but not for me, for meditation. Either I need a visualization, something that guides me, or I need, I don't like, the only thing that I like is like the Krishna flute or like stuff. I do everything, believe me. But this morning when I did it, I do, and I love it. I don't care. One day I feel like I'm into angels. One day I'm into a mindfulness. Or one day I'm into, you know, when I go with Deepak next week, I can't believe it, primordial. I don't even know how that's all about. That's going to be pretty cool. The longer the word, like primordial, you know, the harder it sounds, like Kundalini. When I went to do Kundalini for the first time, first of all, I was the only one there, so I got a one-on-one with the instructor, and this was my first time. It was horrible, like, because I could not. It's not something that is as far as strenuous for the body, but it is. Sometimes there's one Kundalini meditation that you do for like 30 minutes, and your hands have to stay up in the air for like 30 minutes too, like in this crazy position. So that really stressed me out because I'm like, damn, I'm a big mess. But why was I saying this?
I have no idea.
No idea.
What were you talking about?
The meditation. So this morning's meditation, it was just affirmation, seven things of that I was telling you over and over, and it made me really cry a lot. One of the things that it said was, it was a lot of healing and letting go. One of the things that it said is that you're not a human. You're a soul in this forever eternal space, you know? And it really just brought me back to thinking that I have no idea or clue of the truth of who I am. Here I think I am getting closer and closer every day with the Course in Miracles. Course in Miracles teaches you that you're not your body, and you're basically an amazing soul that will live forever, and that everyone around you, you guys are all one, and that this entire world is made out of love. And this morning when I did that meditation, I got this like aha moment of how it is that we can access our third eye. And the why I'm telling you this is because I don't feel like I've done it fully. I wonder if I'm sure there is a yogis and people that are just consistently, I feel like they're probably producing DMT in their bodies all by themselves. And I've done this. I've done meditations where I thought I'm never going to be able to feel peaceful here. And I felt completely peaceful when I was in Mexico. And I felt complete in a different environment, stress, everything. But, you know, I felt completely peaceful. I feel like I was on something. I was on drugs or something. And I never thought I was going to feel like, you know, just being normal like that. So it can happen. But what I got today for accessing it was, you know, first you have to really understand the truth of who you are. I think that's the number one thing. And that is your love. You know, a lot of us don't want to face the truth that we're going to die, all of us, and we're going to let our bodies go, and they're going to go. And whatever happens to us next, I'm not sure. You know, I really believe in that Buddhist, the 49 days, and then you become reincarnated, especially after watching that crazy movie we just watched. What was it called?
Enter the Void.
Thanks, Damien. Enter the Void. That movie, if you're ready to be courageous and really face death, you should watch it. And let me tell you, a lot of the Buddhist monks, they actually meditate on their own death, and I think we said this before, but they meditate with corpse in the room. Lots of corpses in the room, because they meditate on their own death to free them from that fear. And this movie is crazy as hell. It literally, I couldn't sleep for like 2 days because I just thought, whoa, it's like that's the only thing that I keep attracting nowadays.
One of my favorite movies I've seen in a while. Like it was like beautifully directed,
crazy.
Everything put together.
But the truth is,
like, taboos, if you have like stomach problems, just don't watch
don't
it.
Don't watch it. If you have any kind of problems, don't watch it.
I know epilepsy or like any like.
It's crazy,
yeah.
But the thing is, and it's on Netflix, guys. What's it called again?
Enter the Void.
It's not like anything I've ever seen, but it's not, if you don't want to, and most people, I would say most people don't want to deal with the fact of death. They don't want to deal with it. They put it behind their back. I told Damien today, you know, I'm going to die one day. You don't want to clean the dishes? Like, that's fucked up, you know, just clean the dishes. You're making me mad, you know? And he's like, Mom, I don't want to think about that. That's the number one thing he said. Most people don't want to think about that, you know, but we have to be courageous and we have to be true to ourselves, and we have to know that, you know, you are going to dissolve this body and you are going to move on, and so are your family members and everyone else. I'm upset because I freaking love it so much. Like, life is freaking awesome,
how
you know?
How do you come back to death, though?
I don't know. We were talking about the ways that these thoughts, we were talking about identifying. So you've got to understand that you're not a body. This is how it came to me in meditation. First, you have to not identify with the body. You have to see yourself as a soul that's forever eternal. You've got to really let go of that fear of death. And then you've got to see others that way, too. And I got this message, you know, you got to see others. You really want to open up your third eye, Veronica. You want to have access to wisdom. If you really want to be in the now, live in the now, worry-free, fear-free, but not completely, because you want to have some fear. You know, if you're going to go skydiving and you have no... What if you want to go skydiving and you have no fear?
I don't
then
know.
How fun would it be?
What do you mean? You're courageous. You don't have to...
I think that's stupid. Then why would you want to do it if you have no adrenaline rush or...
You're still going to get the adrenaline just without fear. What do you mean?
I'll tell you a perfect story.
Maybe
you don't
do that. You're going to have no fear. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you something. No. You always will still have some fear, because when we went ziplining, I still did it, but I was freaking scared as hell. So you will always, to dissolve it is almost to like let go of the beauty of being a human.
I don't know about that.
Okay, let me give you a story. Deepak Chopra, in The Future of God, there's a story about a little girl. She doesn't feel pain. She has this weird disease. There's like three
she
people.
Pain. Pain and fear
it's
is something completely different.
It's the same.
Pain is necessary. Fear is fear is something that you completely get rid of.
Okay, so let's say that you're going to be up there singing the national anthem, you're the whatever, and you feel no absolute fear.
Okay.
At all. That's a good thing?
Yes. But of course that's a good thing. You should go out there with your voice loud as
but
proud.
Then you're not a human.
No, you could be a human
but
without
because that's
fear.
Your talent. You can, but I think fear serves a purpose.
I think fear serves a purpose to help you grow. I think it's the biggest enemy.
It is an enemy,
but it's
controlling
it's
it.
It's stopping us from growing.
Here's my thing. My goal has always been to be a fearless human being.
Didn't we talk about fear before?
We did. We go beyond fear. That's why I wanted to reiterate it. Going beyond fear. Dissolve it by being aware of it, and that's it. It's not by saying, I used to say, I don't want fear in my life at all. I don't want to see it. But you know what? We're human. Let me see it. Let me be aware of it and let it dissolve.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. How what I feel.
Yeah.
But I used to have a goal that I did not want any fear at all. At all. Does that make sense?
No, that does make sense.
And that's not the way it should be. You know, the way that I'm going to evolve and grow is to feel the fear and move forward anyways.
All right,
yeah. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So when you stop identifying with the body, when you stop identifying with emotions, fear, and then you see others as one, as yourself, as, you know, even Einstein said that, a human being is part of the whole called by us, the universe, a part limited in time, space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a land of optical delusion of his consciousness. Disillusion is a kind of prison, restricting us to our personal health, pretty much, and personal desires. So when you stop doing that, when you stop identifying with yourself, when you stop identifying with whatever you see out there, and you start seeing everyone as yourself and as whole, because your energy is mixed with that energy, then the third thing, the number three thing that is very, 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 very important.
Okay.
Very.
Stop. God.
Then what's important is that you start just letting the magic of life just unfold beneath you. Like, then there's no rules, not even the Bible, not even the Bhagavad Gita, not even the what is that, Tao Te Ching? Nothing can teach you what life is, only experience. And that's why all of us have a different perception of life. And the most important thing is that we have tools. We have these things. I think the number one thing that I want to focus on for the rest of my life is being able to utilize my body to its fullest potential, including the components of it. You know, where is this pineal gland? How do I continue to activate it? How do I see through the eyes of love? How do I maximize the efforts of my body so that I can use it in connection with my soul?
Become the most optimized human being you can be.
Yes.
Yeah, right on.
I think that's beyond the goals that we've set ourselves now, which is to buy that car, buy that house, because I feel like...
It's more than physical, I mean, riches.
Well, a lot more, and people are so focused on the material that it sucks, you know? And I'm like that too, believe me, I love material. I'm like that guy that says, you know, I want to pay my bills and also be spiritual. You know, I want to pay my bills and also be at peace. Not spiritual, but be at peace, you know? So the way to access it that I've learned is that you have to completely disidentify with your personal story, with your personal who you think you are, with your personal vision of that you're this body. You have to see others that way too. You have to really understand others in the same way, because if you don't, it's going to block you from really accessing your true and highest potential. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
What else you got on that?
Joe Rogan and Aubrey Marcus talked about this on the podcast once. The platinum rule is to do to others because they are yourself.
That's so true. And Krishna and Bhagavad Gita says the same thing. I opened the book and it said the same thing. When you're feeding yourself, you're feeding God. You know, you're literally doing that. When you go and you're compassionate with someone else, you're literally, without even thinking it, it's the flow of giving and receiving. You're receiving, and more giving is going to come back to you. And all these things, all this wisdom comes from the symbols that we read in books. But I think all the wisdom comes from your true inner self. And if you know about things like the pineal gland and the third eye, whatever you want to call it, then I think you're able to really access these things and have a more peaceful life that you can truly go to your highest potential, number one. Number two is be a good human being that like the Mayans, focuses on moving forward their human race. Maybe it was just their own little one. Maybe they didn't want to move forward the Spain, people from Spain that came and conquered or whatever. But if you're trying to bring a group of people, especially of humanity, forward, then you're already doing an amazing job in this world. It's not just about yourself, you know? That's where I think there are people go wrong. When I meditate, my intention is whatever good it does into me, let it do good to others.
I see. I know what you mean. I know. But, like, in Tao Te Ching, he says, I'm a paraphrase. It's not something like this. But he's saying, like, people will learn from you when you're not trying to teach.
Exactly.
And stuff like that.
And we ain't trying to teach. We're just talking. This is a lot of information, and this is new to us too, and it's just so incredible to be able to do this. But I'll tell you what, after all of this, I'm just committed. I know that there's a whole part of me inside of me, as I'm touching my forehead, that absolutely is amazing. And I love the ability to be able to get on my computer or my phone and be able to discover so many things. Remember, in the end, your life is what you believe. So if you don't want to believe in any of this bullshit, then move on with your life. If you want to find something else, maybe try. Check it out. Check it out and see if it works for you. For me, it has worked. I'm just at peace. Not all the time, but right now I am. But more importantly, I think that it's just a new... Don't do what everyone else is doing. Do what no one else is doing. So you can really discover, you know, And only imagination will take you there. None of the reality stuff, anything that you see in form and physical, it's not going to help you because it's already been discovered. Go be the pioneer that you were born to be. You were born for a huge reason. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this opportunity of life? Access your pineal gland. That's what you're going to do. So thanks, Alexander. This has been awesome. I really love this subject, and I'm sure we can talk about it for 30,000 years. But the research, guys. Internet's right in your hands.
Look,
your phone.
Look up like the pictures and the paintings of like the ancient traditions that all like talk about the pine needle and the pine cone. So cool. There's so much.
There's a lot. So we wish you all the best of everything.
We could finish off with this quote about the pine gun from the Bible.
Oh, I would love that.
Well, it's not necessarily, I guess you could say the pine gun. All right. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. Matthew 6:22.
Oh, I love that. That is so beautiful. Gave me a little goosebumps here.
Oh. Okay.
And I love you. I love you so much. When we're done with this, I'm going to give you a big kiss.
God, why is that necessary?
Because I just love you. All
right. Love you too, Mom.
I love you so much. I love you, Damian.
I love you too, Mom.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening in. We really enjoy having you all here. Honest to God, all you here, I don't even know who's listening, but this is what's important is that I just spit on Ellie. And number two is what's important is that, you know, in the end, the only thing that matters is love, guys. Pineal gland, third eye, all of this stuff, it's super important. You know, you don't want to get too, like, lost in it. What you want to do is just be yourself. Know who you are. And just know that there's tools out there that will help you. I, for once, will be rubbing my third eye every single day and saying, where are you? Come to me. Thank you so much for the ending quote, Ali. I love you.
Love you too, Mom.
Have a great night, everyone. We'll talk to you all soon. Adios.
Bye, guys.
All right.